Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gileadi here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Yeah, I was thinking as I was driving here today, we managed to do two shows from Joel chapter 2.
Yeah. How
actually,
cool is that?
Actually, only a few of the verses.
Yeah.
But
well, you know, I thought it was going to go longer because there's so many chapters in Joel. Yeah. I didn't know if we'd put it all in.
I'm going to ask him when I get to heaven, how many chapters do you think you had? He'll say, well, we didn't have chapters in my day. So I'll say, oh, yeah, that's right. He doesn't even get his own scroll, you know. He's in with 11 other guys in a scroll.
He didn't?
No.
Jeez.
His scroll would be really little.
Wow.
But anyway.
Well, he had good chapters.
Since we're in the season of Lent, and
here we are.
Two shows about repentance and fasting, and we're going to talk about the famous passage of Jesus in the wilderness, who didn't have to repent. But he certainly fasted during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew has a very good account of this, and Luke has a very good account of this. Mark mentions it briefly, I think one or two verses. And John doesn't mention it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you said you wanted to read the Luke one.
Yeah, we'll go from Luke.
Not lukewarm, Luke one, the Luke one.
Yes.
Luke chapter 4.
That is true. Okay. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me. Jesus said to him in reply, It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him in reply, It also says, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time.
So here, this happens immediately after the baptism in the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit leads him. Now, he is the God-man, but the Holy Spirit leads him into this wilderness. And having driven through that wilderness a few times in Israel, it is unbelievable. There is literally not a green thing for miles and miles and miles. It's sand and hills. And
yeah.
I mean, I couldn't stand being out there for 3 or 4 hours, let alone 40 days.
Yeah.
But, it's immediately after. And, you know, it shows you that sometimes after mountaintop experiences, you have to come back down the mountain and back into the valley.
That is true.
And how many times did you go to a conference on a weekend and you leave there on Sunday afternoon going, wow.
Yeah.
And then Monday morning, you're thinking, oh, man, I wish I was back at the conference.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's led by the Spirit. And we have another example here of his humanity, the condescension he made to take on humanity, that he's tempted. It's mm-hmm. pretty amazing. He's tempted.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the book of Hebrews, which actually is my favorite book, in chapter 4, it talks about, oh, maybe it's not 4. Ooh, I'm blanking out now. But it talks about how we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
He understands our weaknesses. you know, if we were put in that position that he was with Satan directly confronting us, and you notice how he does it, kind of like he did with Eve. Oh, you know, he quotes words, he quotes a little bit of scripture to him, and interestingly, Jesus answers with three verses from the book of Deuteronomy, but he understands that we have this weakness in our humanity, that we're subject to this temptation. He could resist every temptation. But what I like to take away from this is, number one, he could resist all that temptation, but we can't. We can resist most temptations, some temptations, you know, whatever, but not every temptation.
Right.
And secondly, he understands what we're going through because he lived here as a human for 33 years. But actually, secondly, what I really meant, what is actually more important, is that if Satan tempts the Son of God, tempts the Messiah, you think he's going to hesitate to come after you? Or if you think you can resist that on your own power, you're going to be a guaranteed casualty.
Yeah.
Because you may hold out for a little while, but you notice this constant, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God.
Yeah.
That's kind of the Eve approach.
Yeah, well, yeah, he has the devil has the audacity to say, if you're the Son of God, he knows he's the Son of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's not giving Jesus the full authority of his name.
Yes.
Because he knows there's power in his name.
Yes.
And, you know, what you were talking about before was Hebrews 4, where, you know, Paul says,
Yeah,
4:14, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, because he's able to sympathize with us because he's been tempted in every way.
Yes.
But he didn't fall
right
to sin as we have.
Yes.
And so the devil tempts Jesus here. You know, if you're the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
do this.
Mm-hmm. It's very reminiscent of the garden.
Yeah. If you're the Son of God, do this. You know. And Jesus, and you've said many times, he quotes Deuteronomy to him.
Mm-hmm. Three verses.
Yeah.
I love Deuteronomy.
Now, the devil knows the scripture. Mm-hmm. He knows the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
He's tempting the word of God made flesh.
Yes. Yes. Good. Excellent. Yeah.
And Jesus says to him, it also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.
Mm-hmm.
And so the devil departed from him for a time. Notice he didn't say the devil departed from him forever.
Yes.
The devil doesn't give up.
Yes.
And that's part of that's part of the spiritual battle that we face as human beings. And, you know, it can be trying for people. It can be trying for people who don't understand the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I just want to have some rest and relaxation.
Right.
I don't want to have this battle every day.
Right. That's right.
You know, the reality of the kingdom is there's a battle that's taking place,
mm-hmm.
and we're in the midst of it.
Yes.
And we have to be prepared for that battle, and God will prepare us for that battle,
mm-hmm.
you know, over time. But we have to, we have to study the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
and know what it says, so that when we're tempted, we don't fall prey to this.
Right.
Well, are you sure that that's what that says? Are you
mm-hmm.
sure that that's what that passage from
mm-hmm.
this book says?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because that's the subtlety that Satan uses to trip us up.
Yes.
And we go, oh, maybe I am thinking about this too much. Yeah. No. Hold fast to the Word of God, because that's truth.
Yes.
And that's life.
Yes. Eve and Adam, because Adam was standing there.
Yeah.
They went down in the first attack. they didn't hold out very long.
No. they didn't.
But the second Adam holds out, of course,
mm-hmm.
forever. And so it is just like, you know, Paul talks a lot about how Jesus is the second Adam, and the first Adam brought death, and the second Adam is, you know, comes from heaven and brings life. And we could do that for another show. It is a parallel of what happened in the garden. And in this, you know, the other thing that's interesting is Satan waits until Jesus is hungry and he's weak and he's tired. You know, he's gone 40 days without food and water, which, okay, I'll believe it because it's in the word, but physiologically that would be impossible to go 40 days without water.
Yeah.
But he's obviously in a weakened condition and he's hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've, like, you know, I was just eating some pretzels because after all, you know, I haven't eaten for about 4 hours and I'm like really hungry, but so like 40 days would be out of the question, especially in a desert.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Yeah, exactly. And so in, you know, when you're, and Jesus didn't, I have the problem of my flesh being weak.
Yeah.
Cause I can say, well, why should I eat these pretzels now? I should really be fasting and I just ate like 3 hours ago,
right.
But oh no, I want some pretzels because I'm hungry. But he, even though he was physically weak, was not vulnerable to this. Not that eating pretzels is a sin, but you know what I mean? He wasn't vulnerable to this. He wasn't vulnerable to this, well, if you're the Son of God.
Yeah.
I mean, look at you. You're a wreck.
Yeah.
You're hungry. You're messy. You're dirty. You look horrible. So why don't you just tell the stone to be bread?
Yeah.
Make yourself a sandwich. You don't even have to just make bread. Why don't you make some bread and cheese and, you know, why don't you just have some salami or something? I mean, aren't you hungry? You know, you haven't eaten for 40 days. And Eve would have fallen for that in a second. I would have fallen for that in probably 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But he wants to turn Jesus away from the Father. Look, the Father doesn't want to see you like this. And, you know, by the way, I have to tell you, the Father's not really taking very good care of you.
I mean, look at the difference in the setting of the garden.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To the desert.
To the desert.
You have a lush garden.
Yeah.
Everything's green.
Yes.
There's all the trees.
Yes.
There's the tree of life, the tree of good, you know, of knowledge.
Yes.
Looks very appealing.
Yeah.
And look where Jesus is at. He's in this desert, a howling wasteland of a desert. He's tired. He's hungry. And he hasn't eaten.
Yeah.
And he hasn't had food or water.
Yes.
And it's barren.
Yes.
I mean, what a contrast.
Yeah. It's like we always compare the Garden of Eden to the Garden of Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
Or the beautiful tree.
Yeah.
That they couldn't eat from to the tree of the cross.
Yeah.
I mean, here he is in this wilderness, basically fielding the same temptations that Eve had.
Yeah.
You know, God doesn't want, you know, the reason he doesn't want you to eat this is you're going to be like him and he doesn't want that. But he says to Jesus, look at you. If you're the Son of God, your Father's not taking very good care of you.
Yeah.
Because what father's going to let their son starve to death and look like this?
Yeah.
So, man, just, you know, can't you take care of this yourself?
And it shows us really that the devil will tempt us no matter what our state in life is, where we're at in life.
Right.
Whether we are in a good place and things are prosperous and God has blessed us, or are we in a time of trial? Are we in a time of, you know, transition where maybe we're searching for God and we're like, Lord, are you still there? I mean, God always is. We, in our human frailty, we doubt. But the devil can tempt us anywhere, whether times are good, whether times are bad. It doesn't matter because his ultimate, what he wants is he wants you to bow down and worship him so that he has your soul.
Yes.
It's a battle for our souls. And as we've said, it's a battle of spiritual, you know, it's a spiritual battle and the battle is for our soul. And God wants us to be with him for all eternity in heaven to worship him and praise him.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil doesn't want that. He wants to take as many souls into hell with him.
Yes.
Because he hates God.
Yes.
And he hates you and I.
That's right. He would kill us if he could.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Yeah.
And the answer to this is Deuteronomy 8:3. You know, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Yeah.
Which is a very powerful thing if you aim it at our materialistic society. Because we think man not only, I mean, we wouldn't want just bread. You know, we want steak and we want lobster and we want the best seafood and we want the best pastries and the best desserts and we want the best wine. I mean, we live by all the cool stuff. We want to have a really nice house and we want to have a really nice car and we want to have a really nice job. And, you know, I live by all that stuff. But Jesus says You live from every word that comes from the mouth of God, not from that stuff.
Yeah.
He goes, even just bread. You don't just live on just bread. You live on every word.
Right.
And it's a very powerful statement, which the devil then, Satan then changes the tack again. He says, okay, I'm not going to get anywhere with this stone to bread thing. So he goes on to the next thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, it's, let's see. He takes him up to Jerusalem. You know, yeah, first he tempts him with, because he knows he's hungry. Then he tempts him with power and glory. Because Jesus had all power and glory when he was with the Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He descended from that to free us from sin.
Mm-hmm.
So the devil tempts him with power and glory. Then he tempts him with, hey, you know, just throw yourself down. God will catch you.
Yeah, you're not going to get hurt.
If you're the Son of God, this is the ultimate test for you.
Mm-hmm.
Just jump and let God catch you.
Yes. And he actually quotes Psalm 91 to him.
Yeah.
As if Jesus doesn't know Psalm 91.
Mm-hmm.
But he quotes Psalm 91 to him. That, you know, he's going to, angels are going to hold you up. So I don't have it exactly in front of me. Angels are going to hold you up so you don't dash your foot against a stone. And
he's testing him. I was going to say he's testing him. First it's with hunger. Then it's with power and authority or glory. Then it's the ultimate test. Do you trust God?
Yeah.
Do you really trust your Father to do this for you?
Yeah. If you trusted him completely, you'd know that if you jumped, you'd be okay.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, if you look at the sequence of how he tempts Jesus, he tempts us almost in the same way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
He tempts us with physical things,
mm-hmm.
with wealth and power. Oh yeah, I want to be that. I want to have more likes than anybody on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I want to have. You really trust God to take care of you in this situation? You can do that by yourself.
That's right.
Take charge of it. You have the authority. You have the power to do that.
Yes.
You don't need any of this other stuff.
Yes.
And that's what he does with us. The same exact thing.
Yeah. And Jesus answers with Deuteronomy 6:16. Don't tempt God.
Right.
You know, this would be like us saying, you know, I'm a believer in Jesus and he's going to protect me no matter what I do. So if I go to a bridge and I see the train coming and I jump down off the bridge in front of the train, I'm going to be okay. Well, no, you're not going to, the train's going to
splat. Not for very long.
Yeah. So he says, you don't tempt the Lord your God. You don't say, oh, I can jump off of this. And this has been, there's historical evidence by the historian Josephus that Herod had built this high walkway at the very top of the temple, which it refers to as the pinnacle,
mm-hmm.
where you could go up there and like overlook the city and you could pray up there.
Right.
And so there really was such a place.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course the ultimate of this was looking out over all the kingdoms of the world. Now I don't know how Satan would have done this, but you know, if you look out over all the, you know, all the great Gentile kingdoms of the world that there were then, and Satan says, you know, all this has been given to me. So I can give it to you. All you have to do is worship me.
Yeah.
Which of course is the ultimate idolatry, is the ultimate sickening thing, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus responds with Deuteronomy 6:13. You know, you only worship the Lord your God.
Yeah.
They're going to fall down and worship you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's we see it from our point of view in that what you just mentioned. Oh, look what there is out there. There's money, there's power, there's greed, there's mm-hmm. lust, look at all the stuff you could have.
Yeah.
All you have to do is follow, worship me.
Mm-hmm.
Although he doesn't say worship me, but he just say, look at, it's yours.
Yeah.
You take control of the situation, you can have all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you going to do with fasting and rending your heart and stuff? Come on.
Yeah.
God really wants you to do that. I mean, look at you, Jesus, you're a mess. You haven't eaten for 40 days. You know, what kind mm-hmm. of savior are you? I can give you all this kind of stuff. You know, it's like Paul writes in, I can't remember where it is now. where it says Jesus made a spectacle of Satan on the cross.
Yeah.
And now if you'd have been there that day, you'd have seen this poor guy on the cross that was like, you know, slowly dying. And somebody would have said to you, oh, he's making a spectacle of Satan. You would have thought, wait a minute. He's dying on this cross. He's the one who's right. the spectacle. Satan won here.
Yeah.
Just from a human viewpoint, that's what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And so here, he's saying to Jesus, forget about all this fasting and prayer and repentance and rending your heart. You can have all this stuff. All you have to do is worship me.
Yeah.
All you have to do is worship me. It's like the ultimate in not only in idolatry, but in worldly ambition. And so here's three temptations, three answers from Deuteronomy. So he's tempting the Lord, so nobody's going to be exempt from his temptation.
Right.
And everybody has, and he knows exactly what everybody's weakness is. He knows what to show you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not going to show you, you know, something that you're not interested in.
Yeah.
He's going to show you something you are interested in.
And that's why I say, you know, we need to know ourselves. We
yes.
can't, when we play games with our own spiritual life, we fall prey to the devil.
Yes.
At a moment's notice.
Yes.
So we have to be honest with ourselves as a believer in Jesus Christ. And even if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you need to be honest with yourself because your soul is in peril as well.
Yes.
So it's critical that we are honest with ourselves and we have a spiritual inventory of ourselves. We know our weaknesses. We know our strength and our weaknesses, mm-hmm. but that we rely on God.
Yes.
Totally.
Yes.
And I mean totally.
Yes. You know, God tells Cain, you know, sin will be crouching at your door, but you can master it.
Exactly.
And then Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 11. Or is it 12? It's in 1 Corinthians, where he writes, you're not going to be tempted beyond your means to resist. And God provides a way out of the temptation.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I think, and that doesn't mean, of course, that we're always going to be successful, but it means we should be successful.
Right.
Because he's not going to put he's not going to let Satan put such a temptation on you that there's no way you can resist it. So that you just have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not only going to not let you be tempted beyond your means to resist, but he's also going to provide an escape. So during this temptation, you may be falling for it. There's going to be an escape. I mean, you still may fall for it. But like you say, if you turn to him, if you pray while it's going on, you may see the escape out of this and Satan doesn't win.
Yeah. And the key there is praying. You got to pray and you got to turn to God. You got to turn to God and pray. Because if you don't, you're trying to handle it on your own,
yep.
in your own physical, with your own physical abilities and limitations, and it's not going to happen.
Yes. Yes. And you know, that the temptation with the bread, too, also applies to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he's saying is don't trust in God's providence. You better handle this yourself. You better make sure that you have enough money, that you have the right kind of this, the right kind of that, and you better make sure that you're here and not over there. And you know, you can't trust in God's providence and provision. So you just say, well, you know, I trust in him and I go to church and everything. I do all the stuff, but I better gear myself up to this because I'm not sure he's going to be able to handle this for me.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say, in Matthew's account, it says that then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now, that's the thing that's in Matthew that is not in Luke's.
Yeah, yeah.
So after this temptation happens, angels come and minister to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. But, you know, you bring up the concept spiritual warfare is the thing. You know, but Paul taught in Ephesians 6, which is the great chapter on it, you know, we don't fight against flesh and blood.
Right.
You know, if we fight against flesh and blood, it'd be easy.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make defenses against a human enemy.
Yeah.
But here you're seeing an unseen, you're not seeing, you're faced with an unseen enemy.
Yeah. And the consolation is right there.
Yes.
God's waiting for you to resist, yes. and the consolation is right there. Yeah. Oh,
I can't believe the show's over again. Anyway, this was good. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray as we journey through Lent that you too would draw closer to the Lord through His Son, Jesus Christ, and rely on His Word which is all truth. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.